Hey everyone, just a quick note, at the start of this episode, our guest had a little bit of an issue with his microphone, but it doesn't last long. That's all. Enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Onigiri & Co. podcast. We are still filmed and I'm really happy. And today we are with Adriano, aka Mantis FPV.
Hello. Hey everyone. Hey Noelle, thanks for having me on board today. I'm really excited.
I'm really excited too, because we've been planning this for quite a bit. We were just saying before the podcast.
It's been about 2.5 months, but unfortunately life has just gotten a bit busy for both of us. And we're finally here though, so I'm super excited. Should be fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. And even though we are a bit delayed, I told you I had a last minute thing. It's a silly thing. My dog brought a pigeon in the living room. Like, I don't think she killed it, but she brought like a dead pigeon and wouldn't trade it for snacks. So we had to go on a quick walk so she would forget about the pigeon. And then I had to clean all the feathers so you wouldn't see all the feathers in the background. I think there's still one there. Oh my God.
I was going to say that that's a compliment to you, because usually when animals bring you something, it means that they love you. So it's a good compliment.
Oh, all right. Well, good. She gave me a gift, but that's why I was also a bit delayed today.
Yeah. No, it's no worries at all.
Well, anyway, we made it happen. I'm really happy. So usually when I have new guests on the podcast, and fun story, I don't really know you that well either.
Correct.
So I usually get them to introduce themselves as a person and as a pilot. So whatever you prefer to say first.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So hey everyone. Hey Noelle. My name's, you know, Adriano. I'm co-founder of Mantis FPV. We're a FPV shop based in Sydney, Australia. About me, I'm 26 years old. I've been doing Mantis FPV for the last 3 years. But besides running the shop full time, I got a few other hobbies such as basketball, playing video games, going to the gym, which is really fun. And actually, I got a weird fascination for murder mystery podcasts as well. So that's something I like to listen to as well, which is a bit different, but super interesting for me. And fly FPV, of course. That's one of my other passionate hobbies, as well as work, which is really cool.
Yeah, so it has become your work, and I think we'll get onto that a little bit later in this episode.
Yeah.
But today I wanted to hear about, how you heard about FPV first, like, you know, the usual question, how did you get into this big hobby and community?
Yeah, for sure. So FPV, I started probably about 4 years ago. I actually started with my business partner, Kelvin. So he's the one that introduced me to FPV. It's a bit of a debate because we actually have a good friend that's been flying FPV for many years. His name's Paul. He's basically the one that introduced Kelvin into FPV. And then naturally, and we'll probably talk about it more when I talk about work, but Kelvin and I hang out, we're with each other every day. So naturally, I picked up FPV from him. And that started with freestyle. So, I started FPV doing, you know, freestyle, learning all the tricks of the trade. That transitioned to cinematic, which I did for quite a bit. And now I've settled on racing. So I'm really into FPV racing at this stage.
I noticed the racing side when I was looking at, you know, Mantis FPV Instagram. I could tell, or even in stories sometimes, I feel like you were going to races. And I didn't suspect you started with freestyle, which, good job, because that's more my side of the hobby. I have a soft spot for freestyle, because that's how I discovered the hobby too. Like at the time with Roto Riot and Umagod, doing some freestyle in Hawaii. That's what I was like, oh, wow, I really want to do that. And later on, I realized there was also racing, which, you know, made sense. But
it's so cool. Like all the FPV, like all the different parts of FPV, it's so interesting because they all have their own unique style and category. I think I've enjoyed all of them, but I've settled on racing because naturally I'm pretty competitive. Growing up, played a lot of sports. I think I told you, I played basketball. So racing has that competitive side, which I really like. And then also, that community. So when you go to race events, everyone's there, you see good mates. It's always really fun.
Yeah. And I had good discussion with, Thomas and Paul Bitmara. Surely you know them.
Oh, of course, yes.
If people in the audience don't know them, they are our heroes in Australia in terms of racing, FPV racing.
They're nuts. They're too good.
They are very good. They are a good team. Thomas is excellent. And they don't live too far from me, so sometimes we catch up.
Oh, cool.
And at the time, they really wanted me to do more racing because they were like, you know, it's really good to practice some patterns. It's going to help your freestyle. They were trying to sell it to me this way, but I do think it's true. Like, both ways of flying are very complementary, and it ideally should be good to do both.
We always say racing pilots are one of the best pilots, not to offend the other racing groups, but racing guys, the strategy and the precision you need to fly at the speed, so hitting those gates, it's ridiculous. Like, I still go to events now, I'm not even that good, I'm really slow, you know? But I see these guys, especially in Sydney here in the racing scene, they're just doing all these laps, and I'm still looking at them like, what? How do you, you know, how are they doing that, you know? So it is a different world altogether. Yeah,
it is very impressive. And the first time I took someone to our Melbourne club, and Thomas was racing, the person who was not flying FPV, or the people who didn't fly FPV, they were looking at the DVR and they were like, I can't even comprehend what I'm looking at, because they were like triple gates. And, you know, it's even me, you know, which I was so used to seeing flying. Every time I see the DVR of Thomas or all the fast, you know, racers around here, I'm like, wow, it's impressive how the brain can just think that fast.
Yeah. Like, it's still surprising me. And I used to play a lot of video games. And I thought naturally I'd be pretty good at racing because just reflex and hand-eye coordination. And then I tried it and I wasn't very good at the start. And even now I'm still trying to practice, but there's a big learning curve. So it is very challenging.
For sure. So I don't remember if you said it, because, you know, sometimes I have some blanks, but how long have you been flying?
About four years now. So FPV flying 4 years, drones I've been flying for about... You know, I think every drone pilot says they start off drones with a DJI drone. So, you know, I'm one of those guys that has started with DJI drones. That naturally progressed into FPV drones. So I'm lucky to have met, for Kelvin to have got that, shared that sport with me. And then also Paul sharing that with Kelvin. Because, Paul, he's a Sydney racer in Australia here. Mm-hmm. And he shared that with Kelvin. So one day Kelvin went to a racing event locally, and then he picked up the hobby, which is really cool. And then naturally I got involved as well. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, maybe talk a little bit about this, because you said that led later to the creation of your store and everything like that. So
sure. So Kelvin is my business partner with Mantis FPV. It's actually interesting, Kelvin and I's relationship, how we started Mantis FPV. I actually, before Mantis FPV, I actually do videography and photography. Oh. Yeah, so prior to, I met Kelvin through a different company of his called Sky Monkey. So Sky Monkey is a videography and drone service provider, in other words.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually met Kelvin on LinkedIn. This was maybe 2 years before Mantis, saying, hey, Kelvin, you know, I'm a photographer, because this is actually at an interesting time in my life. Just finished school, film school. Was working in retail for a few years, and I'm like, you know what? Let's go do something that I'm passionate about, which is photography and video. And let's find a job in it. So connected with Kelvin on LinkedIn. Said, hey, you know, I'd love to work with you guys. Long story short, I started doing some work placement with Kelvin and Sky Monkey. I used to joke around. I used to say I was the monkey in Sky Monkey, because I used to carry all the bags around and you know, be the extra support, you know, change propellers and do all the stuff that, to be honest, they didn't really want to do. So I was doing all that stuff, and that just naturally built our relationship, Kelvin and I, to be with each other more and more. Mm-hmm. That was really good, because I was working at Vodafone full time at that stage, which you know, I enjoy sales and I enjoy working with people, but It wasn't a long-term career for me. It was more for something just to do, you know, while still finding my way in what I wanted to do. And then during that, I was working with Kelvin part-time, and then naturally it got busier with Sky Monkey. And I was lucky enough to work full-time for Sky Monkey and then leave Vodafone, which was a really exciting time, because I'm like, yes, I finally can work you know, videography full time, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then did that for a few months. And naturally, FPV started becoming really popular in the cinematic commercial world about 3 years ago. That's when it started entering into the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when Kelvin noticed it during racing. We're like, hey, we can apply this doing cinematic work. You know, let's get a GoPro on top of it, start flying. And you really see it now on Instagram. Everyone is flying, you know, cinematic FPV, yes, which is really cool. But we were doing it very back in the early when it was just getting really popular, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how Kelvin got into it. And then that's actually how I got into it. So the motivation was doing it through SkyMonkey as a service provider, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. So that went by for a few months working. This was back in 2020, right before COVID. When was that? 2020, I think.
Yes.
It
was. Yeah.
Can't believe how quickly time goes by.
It does.
3 years now. And it's actually really weird. So I was, Kelvin and I were still building our relationship, and I was thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, it'd be awesome to own and to start an FPV shop. I was just thinking it, you know?
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to say anything to Kelvin, because I'm like, this guy's going to think I'm crazy. You know, why would we start an FPV shop? It's crazy. You know, you already got so many awesome guys out there in Australia doing FPV shops. We're like, you know, why would we do this? But I was just thinking that in my head. And then one day, I think just Kelvin and I have always clicked, but one day I was working on the computer and he walks right past me and he's like, hey, Adriano, do you want to start an FPV shop?
That's good.
Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. It was so bizarre, you know? And instantly I looked at him. I'm like, let's do it. Off straight away, within a few seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, by the end of that week, we already had the business registered. And that was the stepping stone to basically, within 2 months of that conversation between Kelvin and I, at Mantis FPV, we launched our website. It's actually coming up to 3 years in two weeks' time. So June 13th, I believe, is the date that we launched officially.
Nice. And
yeah, that was right at the start of COVID as well, which is cool.
Well, I wasn't planning on asking the question, but all of this like makes me wonder. So what does it take to, how do you get from like, let's say we don't need to know about registering the shop because I feel like it's really boring, but like what happens between the time you register the shop, you have your website and you get your products, like how do you get organized? And
Yeah. So that was actually that was a bit overwhelming because we've never run a retail shop before. You know, Kelvin and I jumped off the bat saying, let's start an FPV shop. Cool. Where do we start? Let's start with the name. So that was the first thing. So that's when we came up with Mantis FPV, which is actually, I think you sent me a photo of a Mantis, a prime Mantis. And I said, no, it's actually based on the Mantis shrimp,
which is really cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool underwater creature, super powerful, super strong. And we thought this would be a cool, I guess, mascot sort of, you know, vibe for the shop.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, get some water quickly.
Fair enough. Yeah, I really like that shrimp, by the way. I knew it and I didn't know it was called this, but I knew there was a shrimp in the ocean that can like kick things and it's super fast and super powerful.
Yeah,
and
it's super strong.
It's crazy.
And then from that, we just started building the website. So every night, we sort of joked around. SkyMonkey was our 9-to-5 job and Mantis FPV was our 5-to-11. Every night we were just building the website. Kelvin is a web developer, so he was building the website, and I was making the products.
Okay.
So we were sort of joking around, saying he's building the shelves, and I'm stocking the shelves. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And then that took about 2 months of work planning, talking to local pilots, seeing what you know products they want, and. Mm-hmm. Eventually things started to come in, which was really cool. And yeah, we went live. It was a pretty lackluster moment because we went live. We're like, cool, we're going to sell so much. And then it was very slow, you know, naturally as a business.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of, it's not to bring it back to me, it's just to see the parallel experience that we went through. When I first moved to Melbourne, the first job I found was Hearn's Hobbies. Mm. And they basically hired me because they wanted to give a go to FPV. So I also had to start their stock, so it's not really like starting a shop by myself. That sounds impressive to me, because I know what it feels like to just be in charge of your own your own department, and you have to bring a stock, and then you have to deal with all these people. At the time I was dealing with the Impulse RC, that was easy, but all these camera people from Hong Kong or Shenzhen, so Fox here and Runcam, and you have minimum orders, and all of this I knew, but I didn't know, like, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. that's crazy that I have to have this amount, and maybe I need this amount, maybe I don't, like, it, and then you're like, I feel like they're trying to sell me this camera because there's the next one coming next month. You know, you're like, crap, what do I do?
You know what? I feel humble, because now looking back 2-3 years ago, it's like, wow, we actually didn't know too much, and we backed ourselves and we just jumped straight into it, And yes. Sometimes, that saying, ignorance is bliss? It was actually maybe, in hindsight, probably good that we just jumped straight into it, because it's been a lot of work.
Sometimes it's good. Yeah, I agree.
And like you said, the quantities, and starting a business, we had to put, obviously a business is an investment, So Kelvin and I had to invest in the business ourselves, which is not an unlimited amount of money. We had to start with something, and that we started with a bit of stock, and then naturally over the last 3 years, the stock's just grown and grown and grown, which has been really, really cool to see.
Yeah, you've done really well, and suddenly you started popping on social media. I can't really remember how I found the store. I wonder if...
When was the first time you saw us pop up?
Oh, I would say definitely... I don't know if it was 2020, because for me, 2020 and 2021 are like a big mashed year lockdown.
It was a crazy year.
So, but I would say maybe late 2020. I feel also like I was talking with a few pilots, like Joseph. Webb.
Yeah.
So he said something about Mantis. Does it work with you,
Joseph? Joseph, it's a complicated relationship. A great relationship, by the way. He's the best. He's the best guy. Yes. Joseph, when he was working with us frequently on a roster. Mm-hmm. But Joseph is so young and so smart. He's still in school. So naturally he kept getting busy and busy with school. So he decided to go continue, focus on his studies, which we 100% support. But we still see Joseph come in once every two weeks or so. So he's always around.
That's good.
Yeah. So he's not a part of the team, but he's a part of the team. He's always here helping out when he can.
I think that's what happened. I think I remember now. So fun story. That's how I discovered you. I remember I was during the pandemic, and I think it was 2021. With my job, we were already planning to bring FPV in the future. Awesome. But I told them, talking about cinematic, I was like, I need to test some CineWhoop. So, and during the pandemic, somehow I got also sent a CineWhoop by one company, and then all the companies wanted to send me stuff, but I broke stuff, and I wanted to change something because I didn't like it. It was too heavy. I was trying to improve it, and stock during the pandemic was hard to find. So I was talking to Joseph, and I said, "Oh, I burnt my stack today. I mean, it was just the ESC, but I needed to change everything." And he said, "Oh, just have a look if Mantis has it." And I'm like, "Mantis? Who is Mantis?" And I had a look. I'm like, "Oh, okay, website and stuff." And then I looked on Instagram once I ordered, because I was quite happy. You had what I needed. I can't really exactly remember what it was. I think it was a Mamba.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw you on Instagram, and I saw that you put your face out there as well as the owner, and you show what you do in the store, and for having opened a FPV like department in the past, I was looking in 2018 and 2019. I was looking at what other shops were doing. Yeah. Not many people were putting their faces out there, so it was nice. And it definitely influences pilots. Like I could relate. I was like, oh, okay, that's this person, and he seems to be hardworking. And even though everybody is hardworking, you know, because you're in front of the camera, I'm like, oh, maybe I order more there, you know. And
yeah,
and yeah. So we just
try to be your local community shop. You know what I mean? That's what we've always aimed for. I've always worked in retail. I used to work at City Beach. I don't know if you know City Beach, the clothing yes. shop.
Yeah.
I worked at Platypus Shoes. I worked at Vodafone. I worked at the casino. Not many people know that about me, but I used to be a games dealer for the casino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a lot of it has always been people and talking to people and building relationships. I think naturally, you know, doing with Mantis FPV, it just came natural. I didn't really have to think about it. And, you know, we just wanted to be, you know, come across like we're your friends, and we are, you know. So that's why it's been really, I think that's what's been really helpful to our business and our branding as well.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I completely forgot about COVID as well. So that really, going back to the start, COVID actually, it was a horrible time with lockdowns and everything, but that gave us an opportunity to build on the website as well.
Oh, yeah.
During that time. I completely forgot about it, because I think we're so busy building the website and finding stock. That's actually what helped me get through COVID as well.
Sometimes it was like a lot of people started new things during this time, because some people were able to focus on the project more because there was not much to do, or, you know, so it was beneficial for some people. And it's funny that somehow it gave you time to build a website and stuff like that. So we took advantage of it,
which was really awesome.
Yeah, yes. So what type of products, and do you offer any services as well? Like what do you do at Mantis FPV?
Yeah, yeah. So we're an FPV shop in Sydney, predominantly online. We started the shop as an online business, but then naturally as the business has progressed, we've offered in-store services. So we've got a shop front, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Customers can come in, touch and feel the drone, see the motor spinning, which is, I think, a really cool experience for people that are new to the hobby. You know, they want to come see it. And we do repairs and custom builds as well.
Wow.
And we do one-to-one lessons. And if you want to learn FPV, we can do like very bespoke courses and stuff here and there to help people transition into the world of FPV, which is really cool.
That's really cool. I think it's the first time I hear a shop doing lessons, like repairs. Some shops do, some shops don't, because it's a whole kind of different thing again.
Yeah.
Like how do you charge repairs? Like all these kind of things is always, some people don't want to get into that type of business, but lessons is pretty cool because you get the fun.
Yeah. Well, what I found, like especially when we're learning FPV myself and the guys here, it was just so hard. Like, everyone, that's why everyone knows Joshua Bardwell. We saw your previous podcast. Everyone's like, you know, God, Joshua Bardwell, he's awesome. You know, everyone, I think everyone that starts FPV or is in FPV has come across him at least once, you know?
Yeah.
But the challenge I found learning is, if you don't know anyone, if you're not flying regularly with somebody week in, week out, it's actually very hard and can be overwhelming to enter FPV.
That's true.
Very challenging. There's a steep learning curve, but once you get over that learning curve, that's when it becomes really fun, you know? So we're thinking, you know, there's an opportunity here to help people get into the sport of FPV, and why not help them? That's really it, you know? And give them that experience, you know?
Yeah. So you must have like a little team to help you out with all of this.
Yes. We've got an awesome team. So there's six of us in total.
Wow.
Including Joseph, which is cool. There's myself and Kelvin, who's Kelvin's actually more behind the scenes. He sits behind me on that desk over there.
Okay.
He does all our website updates. Anything that you see on the website design, that's all Kelvin. So he's so good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't forget about Zeph. Zeph is our FPV guru. He handles all our repairs, maintenance. He's absolutely amazing in handling all that. Anything technical, he will cover. Felix, who we call him Young Apprentice, he's up and coming Zeph.
Yeah.
He's young kid. Or not young, he's 19. And he's learning the ropes from Zeph, and he's actually really, he's a really good all rounder, so sales and repairs.
Mm.
We've got Chris, who does marketing, so he helps with a lot of our photos and video content.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then myself, and I'm just a all-rounder.
Yeah. You're the monkey again.
I'm the monkey again, yes. I'm the monkey in Mantis. So I'm not an expert in one, but I'm good at all.
Yeah.
So,
and it's very valuable in a team to have someone who can just fill in and do it well, you know, well yeah. enough to do the job anyway, to get it done when everybody else is busy. So
correct. Yeah. And we all got our unique skill sets, and I think that's what makes us a really cool and close team.
Yeah.
Because if something needs done, we know who's sort of responsible for handling that project. And it just works really well. So I think that's helped yeah. a lot, you know, to our business.
Yeah, nice. 6 people is quite decent. That's pretty good. No wonder you can do lessons and things like that. So
yeah, it's always busy here. Like I'm so glad that you can't see the rest of the shop because it's a mess. And prior to me jumping onto here, I had to quickly clean everything. So it's a bit chaotic here, but it's I wouldn't change it. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. Well, I feel like it's always like this. The back end of any shop is a bit like people are crazy. There's packs of props there. There's batteries there and stuff. You know,
yeah.
a bit everywhere.
We're actually looking to move out of this place actually soon. In the next 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
Because we're outgrowing it, which is a good problem to have, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. My next question was, how do you see like the relationship? You mentioned that a little bit already, but between your store, your team and the FPV community.
Yeah, it's a unique relationship, actually. You know, FPV is such a niche still. So it's a very small community, especially in Australia. So everyone sort of knows each other, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, how do we explain our relationship? We're a shop, so we're here to provide parts, which is the first thing we do.
Yeah.
But we also, I feel like we're friends with a lot of our customers, which is really cool. So a lot of customers come in here and they think it's like their second home. Sometimes I see a lot of regular customers come in and I say, I need to give you a key because you're here so often. And they say, it's a second home, you know? So it's really cool to have that relationship with a lot of our pilots. I think that's what makes it really unique.
Did you have some people coming in the store and be like, oh my god, it's so good to see products in real life instead of having to order online because they can actually see them?
Correct. Yeah, so that's what I was saying, like the whole touch and feel and that experience. I think people were like, FPV parts are so unique and intricate with the design and detail.
Yeah,
so when they come here they can spin the motor, they can touch the electronics. They think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think it just adds to that whole experience, that customer experience, you know?
Yes. And I remember when we opened that little shop within the shop at Hearn's Hobbies, there were people who saw it through either my YouTube or they saw on the website that it was being open. And that's what they said. They arrived and they saw the counter with behind the glass all the new products, you know. Yeah. And they were like, oh my god, no, it's gonna be so much harder to not buy things than when it's online.
I know, and I hear that so often as well. Guys come in, they're saying, what do I need or what do I want? I said, yes. it's not what you need, it's what do you want. You know, so they say, Adrian, you can't keep me here, I'm gonna keep buying stuff. I'm like, it's all right, you know, if you need it, it's important. You know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
But I was gonna say, I feel like it's very welcoming for newcomers, especially from the DJI background. Mm-hmm. We tend to just have a lot of chats with guys coming in, just curious to know what FPV drones are. Whether it's like seeing guys on social media, they're like, oh, this looks really cool, I just want to see, you know, or hey, I'm just a DJI pilot, what's FPV drones, you know? So most of the time we actually have good chats with customers here, just talking about FPV. And we have the simulator set up in the back as well.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So they say to us, I know how to fly DJI drones. I said, forget what you know about DJI drones. Don't worry. You know, I don't care how long you've been flying DJI drones. Come try this simulator. And they jump on and they crash straight away. I said, this is FPV, you know?
Mm.
So it's just a way for them to experience it. And 9 times out of 10, they love it, which is really cool.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. It's nice to bring new tool to people who either love flying or video. Like you said, you have a video background as well, you know, like a imagery background. And I remember this guy who has a big YouTube channel. He's Australian. He does lots of travel videos.
Yeah.
He's Melbourne-based. He's called Ben TK, and he's a friend now.
Awesome.
And at the time, he showed up one day, and he was like, so different than all the people I used to see at my hobby store, who are, let's say it, like me and maybe you, a bit nerds, and you know. And then
we're all a bit nerdy,
and it shows, you know. And this guy shows up, and he looked like a backpacker, but you know, the one that goes to Bali and to India, and he's like, "I'm looking for an FPV drone," and I said, "Yeah, no worries, you're at the right place." And he's like, I want to build it myself. And so at the time, I don't remember, he was not really on a budget, which was really rare as well for first time people. He was like, yep, he got like so many, he got like Crossfire straight away, whereas some people were still using, you know, the FR Sky or even like what's the orange one? I keep forgetting this one.
Spectrum.
and he was like, yeah, no worries, give me this. What's the best radio? Give me this. And then he went home, built the drone by himself, brought it back and was like, I don't understand what's happening. Can you explain to me so I can fix it at home? And I was like, yep, no worries. And he did all the steps, and he did his maiden next to me, and then did it all. And now he's still video creator, like content creator, and he flies FPV as a tool.
That's awesome. And you made friends with them too. Like, and that's what I find. Like, a lot of our customers become really, really good friends of ours. And then I think because we share that common interest of FPV drones and then imagery,
you meet
a lot of cool guys and then you become good friends.
Yes.
I had a customer here, actually. He walked in. We served him. He bought his first drone, which was awesome. We got him up and running. He comes back a week later because, you know, especially when you're in that early stage, you tend to come visit more often because you have questions and everything like that. He walked in and I'm like, "Hey, David, nice to see you." And he's like, "You remembered my name?" I said, I said, "Of course." I said, you took the time last week to come out. You know, you came to our shop. We had a good chat. Of course I remember your name because it's such a, you know, small community, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's just one example. But I think that's just that nature that people really like. And it builds that relationship up as well as you know, they learn FPV.
Yeah. It feels like your store is not, I'm not saying other store. I feel like all stores in Australia are a little bit like this. It's not just transactional. It's really about bringing something different to the community. So
yeah.
What do you think a store should bring to the community?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because it's actually really curious. A good question, because in its most simplistic form, we're really just a shop. You know, we bring parts in and we provide it to the customers. But I think what's made us really especially help with branding is just having that local community vibes and becoming good friends with a lot of the pilots. I think that's really helped a lot.
Yeah.
Shops and, you know, shout out to all the shops out there. Having an FPV shop is not easy. You know, there's a lot of work, a lot of challenges every day, and everyone has done a really good job. And I think shops help keep the culture going, you know.
Yeah.
With branding and bringing in new parts and new supplies, running local events and race events. And, you know, shout out to Zach in Rising Sun in Queensland. He's hosting the AU FPV Nationals for Australia this year in Townsville. Wow. So that's just one example of shops doing a really good job for the local community and keeping up the enthusiasm and vibe. So, I think, especially for us, our goal is to continue bringing fresh parts in, support the local pilots and keep growing the sport of FPV. I think it's such a great sport, you know, for me personally. It's got me through some tougher times in my life as a way to express myself, which is, I think everyone should have something like that to help them.
Yeah.
And I'd love to just keep, you know, give that to someone else, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think on a shop level, there's that, but I think it goes a lot deeper, which is really cool.
definitely. Yeah, it's nice to see, like you said, like what you described, the way you talk about your team and your, you know, clients, which are more like friends, you know, yeah, at the end of the day. It's very good to have this this attached to something that could be purely, you know, capitalist, and it's not. At the end of the day, it's full of connections and human connections.
There's real relationships formed on, you know, where, of course, you know, we are a business and we got to pay, living in Sydney is not cheap. We've got to pay rent and I've got to pay a mortgage and, live. But if you can add value in other ways to pilots by, you know, the extra support, you know, the friendships that are formed and advice, I think people really appreciate that. And, everyone's happy, which is really cool.
Yeah. Do you think I want to talk about the challenges, but before that, I wanted to ask you, the ups and downs, do you feel like they hit you more now that your store is also your passion, one of your hobby, than when you were like working for Platypus?
Yeah, so I feel actually really humbled to be in this position, because I don't work, you know, I don't work a day in my life, because I love what it's actually a very cheesy saying, but if you love what you do every day, it's not working. And that's actually how I feel. So for me, it's just like waking up and I got things to do, you know, I got tasks, I got goals I want to achieve, and I'm really lucky to be in that position to do something that I love. Where when I was working at Vodafone and other retail shops, it definitely felt like a job. You know, 9 to 5, which is actually, you know, it's a good routine to get into. But now I'm working, now I don't have a 9 to 5. I have a 24-hour thing, because I'm always thinking about work and what we can do, responding to messages on Instagram, and there's always ideas coming up, you know? So I guess that's one of the, not downfalls, but that's just one of the sides to being a business owner, is you're always on the books, you know, always looking at what you can do next.
Yeah. That leads to the initial question. I was like, what are the challenges that you personally face, and also what kind of challenges does a store face as well?
Yeah. So I think if there weren't no challenges, we wouldn't be a business. There's challenges every single day in anything. Some of the challenges, I guess, as a business, especially for FPV, is the fast nature of the parts, how quickly they change. Mm-hmm. Especially being in Australia, we're always maybe one month or so behind what America and Europe are doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trends in FPV change so quickly. So it's trying to foresee what trends are coming up so then we can predict, or trying to buy fresh parts always to keep up with the trends. But that's always a challenge with our shop, especially. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you've got your everyday challenges of packing orders, making sure it goes out to the right people, which is important. Yeah. There's so many. I can't even pinpoint it. I could talk all day which challenges are. But I think as a business, it's keeping up with the trends.
The trends, yeah. I'm not surprised by this answer. I wonder, is it still going crazy? Like, what's the... not life expectancy, but you know what I mean? Like the shelf expectancy of a product these days. Like if we're talking about, I like talking about cameras, because for me, they're essential to FPV. So whether it's digital, maybe not digital, I'm still curious. Actually, I'm curious about both. Like digital and analog cameras, like how long does it take for them to be replaced by the V2, you know?
Yeah, so we won't even talk too much about HD. That was a crazy time because it changes so quickly, you know?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so life is, you know, we're very lucky because we're not dealing with food and produce. I can't imagine how Woolies and stuff do it. That's a different world.
Yes.
Actually have a good, the shop down, the IGA down the road, I talked to the owner. We've become good mm-hmm. friends. And he's always telling me how stressed he is because expiry dates and before dates. And that's, I'm like, you know what? I didn't think about that because that's not a problem we have to face in our business because we didn't have expiry dates, you know?
Mm, yeah. Thank God.
Thank God, yeah.
Your drone stuff's flying, you know, on the 2nd of June, that's it.
It just falls down out of the sky, you know, you're flying it. Well. But I guess the main part's electronics, you know, especially with gyros and the chip shortages and stuff, the electronics change a bit. Motor styles change in trends. And then also plug and play kits as well, or ready to fly kits change a lot too.
Yeah.
You know, you have, and we find that's very brand as well. So like you have iFlight that's trending, you know, everyone wants to buy an iFlight. Cool. We get a lot of iFlight stuff in. And then, you know, people on YouTube say, try the JetRC. And then JetRC goes famous. And we're like, and then everyone calls up saying, do you have the JetRC? I'm like, we just bought a bunch of iFlight stuff, you know? So that's that time being behind, you know, with the trends.
Yes.
So, yeah, it changes so quickly.
Yeah. So you said also the fact we're in Australia, we're always a little bit behind. Is there anything else that is like a bit of a downside of being based in Australia for FPV store?
Not really. I guess not downside. Our market is smaller compared to America and Europe, naturally, you know.
Yeah.
America's population is 300 plus million and we've got a small population of 24 million. But that's okay. we make do because Australia is a big hobby country. So we love to do stuff that makes us happy, you know.
Yes.
So that's not a problem. No, I think it's a really cool place to be a shop in Australia. Something I learned, especially when I know we're going to touch base on it later on, is when I went to China for a trip, is a lot of the technology and software is developed in Australia.
Oh.
So the Betaflight team, you know, and the ELRS team, a lot of that technology is actually innovated and software is innovated in Australia by Australians.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, so it was actually a really cool moment because I'm there talking to a lot of the manufacturers and I felt quite proud because here they're saying a lot of the it's being developed in Australia, but then it's getting sold America, Europe, everywhere else. So Australia is really leading the way in development, which is really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So you learned that during your recent trip, the trip you took last month.
Yeah, correct. I learned that when I was talking to a few of the manufacturers, which was really cool. Because I knew a lot of it was happening in Australia. I just didn't realize myself the quantity, you know, or how much it was making an impact. And to find out that it's like a lot of it is all here, it was a really cool feeling.
For sure. Yeah. I'm not Australian yet, but I'm proud that, you know, I live in the country that, you know, does this kind of things for their hobby. So
oh,
that's
it's
great.
The best. And we've got the best nature, you know, all the cinematic guys going out to the, especially in Sydney, we've got the Blue Mountains, you know, out west. We've got Tasmania, you know, which has a lot of cool spots. It's just, a lot of cool places to fly here. So it's really cool. You know, I love it. This is home.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. FPV in Australia is great. And sometimes it's funny because people in Europe and the US, they all have these abandoned places, which, you know, buildings, which is a lot harder to find in Australia because everything gets, you know, put down and then something new is built. But these people are like, oh my God, you have like, you can fly there. And they're talking about nature. And we're like, oh my God, you have these abandoned buildings. Like, you always want what you don't have. But I'm so grateful for what we have here.
We have the best beaches and everything. So all the, as soon as you see beach, you know, FPV cinematic on the beach, you know that it's probably done in Australia because we've got the best beaches.
That's very true.
We're just so far away from everybody. That's it.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. Like if you're introvert, you know, it's just like, yeah, that's fine. I don't need to see everybody.
It's Australia is so big as well. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your trip a bit because when we were planning the podcast episode, we were like, yeah, let's meet on Friday. And then you're like, actually, next week I'm going to this big trip and maybe we should talk about this when I come back instead. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I don't even know actually what you've done. I've seen some stories and you in photos with people, but that's all I know. So why did you go there and what did you do?
Yeah. So I went to China 2 weeks ago. I was there for 3 weeks. I went there actually a month ago now. A lot of it, so my partner is actually Australian-born Chinese. Her name's Belle. So this is actually my second time going to China, which is really cool. We went back in 2019 prior to COVID. But because of the whole lockdown and international border closure, etc., we couldn't go for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And then recently China opened up their borders to foreigners to come visit. And first and foremost, Belle and I were like, look, we need to go see her. She has her grandparents and stuff in a city called Guangzhou in China. So like, hey, we need to go see him. We haven't seen him in 4 years. So I said, it's actually really cool because this is the first time, last time we went in 2019, I didn't have Mantis FPV. So I went there just to visit family, you know, which was really fun back then. But then this time I was actually even more excited because I'm like, I have so many friends now over there, which their city is not too far from where I am. So I'm like, this is awesome. I can go see the family and then I can spend a week traveling and meeting all my friends in manufacturers, which was an awesome experience. So yeah, we went there, really hot and humid.
Oh,
the weather.
Right
now it's super hot. You know, you're basically standing and you start sweating because it's so humid. Yeah,
oh,
but now it's freezing here, so I don't know which one I prefer because it's so cold now here. But
yeah.
Culture shock. It's a big culture shock.
Okay.
The life over there, it's so cool. It's very fast paced. A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying before, we got 24 million here. One city over there would have 25 million in one city.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's so much.
Yeah, it was really cool. A lot of eating. I'm not going to talk to you about how much weight I've put on since I've come back. The listeners probably don't have to know.
Yeah.
But a lot of awesome food, you know, everyday eating food, dumplings, yum cha in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I love, you know, basically all the cuisines that they cook there. This is so much. I just keep talking. I need to breathe.
I'm really glad. Like, and you know, I haven't myself traveled overseas since before the pandemic. My last trip was in 2018. So anybody who's talking to me about like a recent trip they've done, I'm like all ears. I'm like, please tell me.
It was just so nice. Like I actually forgot how much I miss traveling, you know, because being like not going for the last 4 years, you forget how much fun it is, you know, catching the international flight, going over the waters and being on China's 8 hours or 9 hours away. So not too bad, but just that whole experience, you know, going through customs and, you know, it's just that whole travel experience, which is really cool.
Mm.
But once I was over there, yeah, it was so much fun. It was just nice to get away from work and, you know, I felt good because the boys here were looking after everything, which was, you know, really nice.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, just go over there and have some fun for 3 weeks while I was there.
Yeah, definitely. But then it wasn't just fun because did you work at all? Or was that like when you met the people from
It wasn't
the
work. It wasn't work. It was fun. So we went out for food, lunches. Like this is what I was saying. It's such a great community because everyone's friends, you know?
So, wow.
Yeah. So I went before going there. I actually went to Beijing for a week or for a few days, which is really cool. Went to Beijing, you know, and so again, so many people and so many sights to see. I saw the Great Wall of China, which is really cool.
Wow.
Did all the like typical tourist stuff when I was over there.
Typical tourist stuff then?
going to the Great Wall of China, for example. Touristy. A lot of temples, a lot of, you know, they've got a lot of history in China. So going to a lot of the museums and learning about their culture and just, you know, just the history was so fascinating as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, again, more food. So just so much food to eat, which
so
is really
good.
Cool. Yeah.
Ah, this is not what I thought you were doing. And I'm really happy this is actually what you did because all you said on, you know, our quick DMs was like, I'm going to China to visit suppliers. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's really cool. But actually, it's not suppliers. You saw friends and you ate food and you that's
amazing.
And
it was the best. And, you know, towards the end, I went that last week to visit them. So they're based in a city called Shenzhen, which is about a 2 hour drive from where I was staying with Bell's family in Guangzhou. So 2.5 hour drive. That started the trip because it's so cool. I've been talking to a lot of these manufacturers such as or brands, you know, Foxia, Diatone, Axis Flying, Dogcom. There's a few there.
Yeah.
Radio Master. Who else did I do?
Yeah.
HD Zero. And there's a few. Yeah. But I've been talking to them for the last three, four years since starting Mantis, and it was so weird to see them in person, which was a good weird, not a bad weird, a good weird. I've been talking to you for the last 3 years on email and all that stuff. It's nice to actually put a face behind the name and behind Torrent. Yeah. So it was really cool. And they were so friendly to me. You know, they were so welcoming. Like, I was actually very nervous prior to meeting them. I couldn't go to sleep because I'm like, what can I expect? There's a bit of a perhaps language barrier, which is no problem because my partner Belle speaks Cantonese fluently, which is really nice. So that helped out a lot. Mm. And yeah, they're so welcoming. I think they're probably more nervous for me to go say hello.
Was your partner like, what did she think of this community? Like, what does she think of that in general?
Super supportive. I think we talked about it before. She thinks we're all a bit nerdy, which is a good nerdy, you know. But no, she's actually, you know, she's a big part for my support as well, you know. So I guess if we're talking about team, you got your work team, but then you got your supportive team, you know. And she's been a big part to help, you know, me and the support of Manta. So she's the number one fan, definitely. Yeah,
that's so good.
I think she really I think she saw how awesome the community was once we actually visited the brands, especially in Shenzhen, because they were so welcoming and so friendly. I think, she was just surprised the scale of what they were manufacturing and how busy FPV is.
It is. It can be. Yeah. And that's good that she got to see that part of the hobby as well, not just like people, you know, nerds in parks with goggles on. Like, that's what Chad Nowak used to say. We're just nerds in parks.
Yeah.
We actually are nerds. Outside.
I'm proud. I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
You've got to be unique to be an FPV. You've got to have a bit of a geeky side and, you know, you might have a cinematic. We all share a common connection. I think that's why the community is like so close together.
Yeah.
But yeah, that trip was really fun. Again, a lot of them kept taking me out to food, come eat. They're actually very worried that I don't eat much food. They're like, oh, I'm nervous to order you food, you know, because I'm a foreigner, you know. So they're like, they're being careful. I'm like, don't be nervous, order me your local food. I want to taste everything. I have a good stomach. I can eat whatever. So we ate a lot of their local food.
Yeah.
I went to visit Axis Flying up in a city in Nanchang. That's about 4 hours bullet train. So I caught a train up to visit them.
Cool.
Spent a full day with them. You know, he took me around his whole city, showing me his factory, showing me his office, you know, meeting the team. But then they're so friendly. Him and his team. So his name's Anki and Vivian and Lucy, three of them. They took me around their whole city to basically give me a whole tour. I felt very honored because they spent the whole day, you know, to take me all these places, had dinner. And yeah, it was actually sad to leave because I'm like, I wish I could spend longer with you. You know, it's a friend. I'm leaving so soon, you know?
Yeah. Especially when you're on this trip like that and you said you had to see family and 3 weeks, it sounds like heaps, but in fact, it's never enough. Like, you always wish you had one more day everywhere, you know? Like,
I think one more week would have been fantastic. I would have loved to spend another week there.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right. I don't think it would ever be enough because, like you said, the time just went by so quickly. It's so busy. And actually, it wasn't a holiday where you go on a beach and relax and stuff. It was a holiday it was an urban holiday, going away to more chaos with all the people and all the food. And I think I was clocking in maybe 14,000, 15,000 steps a day.
Wow.
A lot of walking. That's probably why maybe I didn't put on too much weight because I kept walking. You know?
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
What did you think when you saw FPV factories? I know it was not the main thing you've done when you met your friends, but I'm curious to know.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, sorry, my watch is talking to me. You know what? I was actually overwhelmed is not probably the right word, but I was, when you're here in Australia, you picture these brands and you think you have a picture of what you think of them, you know, Diatone, Foxy, you know, you start to see the brand. But then when I visited them, they're just, I know it's weird to say, and it's not normal. They're just normal people. Yeah. You know what I mean? And real people with real families and real goals that they have to do and all that stuff. And that actually gave me, as a friend, I connected to them, which was really good. But also as a business now, I feel more happy to buy products from from these companies that I met, because I know who it is behind it. Mm. I know it's real people behind it, which is really cool. A lot is happening. They're very busy with manufacturing. Mm. It's super cool to see the passion behind what they do. Mm. So like we were saying before, we all share a bit of nerdiness, because over there, they're not just manufacturing it for the sake of, you know, doing it for business. Sure, again, business is important, but there's a lot of passion. So the guys that are doing it are from FPV backgrounds. They love and enjoy the community, and mm-hmm. you can see that in the products that they're developing as well. Wow. So that was really cool to see that, you know, they're not just random people making stuff and sending it, you know, all across the world. It's, you got real guys that love this community and love this sport. Of actually call FPV a sport now, because the racing and all that stuff,
yeah,
you know, and they're innovating for it, which is really cool.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that makes me happy somehow, like, because, you know, we just talked about your relationship with the people who come to your shop, you know, and interact with you, but knowing that the step before that, so manufacturers, yeah, it's also passionate people, even though you can tell, like, for some people, like, you know, I'm thinking of Zong from HQ, or even in his own way, Trappy from Team Black Sheep, in his own, like, you know, flamboyant, not flamboyant, but like very.
No, they got their energy.
Yes, the energy. So it's good to know that it's all across the board, even though you sort of know it. It's good to hear it, like, from you. So.
And I was there. It was so weird. You know, a lot of it was drinking tea, because, you know, they love tea, and I love tea as well. So it was this weird, like, sitting in Foxy's office drinking tea with Libby, who, I think, you know, anyone that buys a lot from Foxy or on social media, Libby is one of the head sales and marketing ladies there. Yeah. And as I say, I'm like, Libby, I'm here with you. How weird is this? And, you know, and she started laughing, and she's like, yeah, it is super strange. You know, it doesn't feel real, you know, but it was like a really nice feeling to see, you know, to be there and see a lot of these companies' passion and you know, innovation for what we do here, which is really cool.
That's so good that you got to do this, because, like, how often do you interact with these people? Almost like every month, sure.
Oh, every day. Couple days. Yeah. So relationship, you know, especially for me, like, it's not, we sometimes just email saying what new products are coming out, you know, or on, they're very active on social media and Instagram. So it's always commenting on each other's posts and just keeping up with with what they're doing. So, FPV is a unique community, because it's not just work. There's a big community aspect to it, that's what makes it really fun. So that's what I was saying. I was visiting brands there, but I was actually visiting a lot of friends, you know, which is really cool.
That's so good. Well done on sharing this, like, and doing this. I'm really happy to hear that, because for my own experience, because I worked only for about a year in that hobby store, it was my little shop within the shop was too small to place big orders and things like that, so I would talk to people only like once a month to do an order, but they would still remember me. Sometimes they would send email and be like, hey, we know you have a store in Melbourne, like, do you want this? And
it's really cool.
It was really cool, but I didn't get what you get, like, with interacting with people every day. Obviously, that would be a very different type of relationship to suppliers, but it's almost like you said, it's not just suppliers, it becomes the whole community.
Yeah, and look, this has been 3 years now in the making. You know, the first year was tough, as like any business, the first year of any business is very tough, you know. Orders, you know, we just kept doing our best, so, you know, we were focused on what we wanted to do, we were focused on adding value to customers, and I think that's I've just described every business, you know, as long as you provide value to customers and have a good relationship with people, naturally people would just start wanting to support you, because they can see that, you know, the real you behind the people behind the brand.
Yeah.
And actually, as I'm talking to you, I'm linking that now, because I'm saying to you, I want to buy from certain brands because I've met the people. Maybe that's very similar vice versa to the people that the customers that I've established friendships with here as well.
Yeah. Totally. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually had a very, Kelvin and I had a very humbling moment, you know, maybe 2 months ago. Well, you know, we're sitting in the office here. Customers were walking in. We had Zeph in the repair room doing, with a customer doing a repair. Felix was in the sales in the our shop's actually at the back of the place. So mm-hmm. Felix was at the back of the shop with a customer, and it was very busy and everyone seemed like they were doing something. And I just, Kelvin and I just looked at each other, because he's just over there, you know, just looked at him and we both smiled, you know, we're like, wow, this is, you know, this has come a long way from where we started to now. It's yeah, it was a bit of a proud moment, you know, to have that feeling. Good. And I wish I had a photo of our stock. When we first started, we literally had one shelf. You know those Bunnings, those Bunnings shelves?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we just had one shelf of stock. That's it. That's all we had when we first started. But to us at the time, that's like, wow, look how much stock we have. But in reality, everyone's probably like, where's your stock, you know? to now what we have now, it's just, it's really, yeah. I'm proud as a business owner to see that growth as well.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's really good you say that, because that leads me to almost my final questions. I always try to keep the episode around 1 hour, but you've done well.
Have we clocked over? We're nearly there.
Yes. What's your goal, like your personal goal, but also I guess the shop goal, the team goal for like the short term, and ideally what would be for the long term?
Yeah. Goals, I think it's super important to set goals. We're always setting goals because what we say is a business is a living thing. It's like a child. Mm-hmm. You always got to feed it. You always got to come up with new ideas, because if you don't, then that's how, I guess, businesses die, when there's no more love put into it, you know? So I guess as a short-term goal for Mantis, it's really just expanding our range in stock, always trying to get in new products that are relevant to what pilots want now, which is really cool. Customer engagement, so building continuously to build relationships. We're looking at maybe doing more events where we can bring people together and for people to make friendships amongst themselves, which is really cool. More middle to long-term goals, we're working on a spec racing league.
Yeah,
you know what spec racing is?
Yeah.
So it's like what they're doing in America, like DRL and 533, etc. We would love to do something similar in Australia.
Awesome.
So that's a project which we're working on, and it might be a few months away, which is really exciting. And long-term goal is to continue growing the business, loving what I do. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. I think it's a lot of passion, and there's a lot of room to grow. I think FPV is growing every day. People see how cool it is and how fun it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think just to keep growing it as much as we can and focus on our own race and do what we can to bring value to the community.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm really happy we have a store like yours in Australia.
Thank you so much.
You know, and after this talk, I feel like you just gained another customer. Like,
thank you so much. I'm really happy to jump on this. This is actually my third podcast, and you said it to me right before we started. You said you're going to warm up towards the end there, and I actually feel really comfortable now. I wish I felt like this when we first started. Cause
at the start.
I'm answering questions a lot more just natural now, where I was a bit nervous before, to be honest.
It didn't show. And you know what that means? That means you need to come back for an episode 2 another time. And
definitely.
We talk about more in depth. I really like, cutting it a bit short sometimes, because then the guest is like, I can think of what they would have said and we can talk about it the next time. And also people don't they're like, no, not yet. You know, you need to create that little cliffhanger,
a bit of a Netflix series, you know?
Exactly. Awesome. I'd be really keen to have you again more on maybe technical side of the hobby, even like talking about more those trends would be very interesting, I feel like, because I'm currently building a mini series of episodes about HD.
Yeah. Awesome.
The first one is just a general one we discussed with Lexi, so Mayan Hai, and a friend of mine, a local here. We just discussed about what we were thinking as of, you know, May, June 2023 of AHD in general, as like, you know, random.
Oh, there's so much. Walksnail, DJI, HD Zero. Yes. There's, the conversation will. But you know what? Quickly, before it won't go too long, it's actually exciting time for HD because these systems now are sort of set in stone, which is really cool. There was a few months ago, everyone's like, what's happening with the HD world? But now I think HD is getting more comfortable. It's coming in its own category.
Yeah, so I would really be keen to have your opinion because we've done a whole episode as well, which might be published by then, you know, but with someone else about DJI Avata on its own, just about this. And I'm planning an episode with Podgrinder about the ethical systems, like the ethics behind different systems and things like that. So then that it would be really very nice. Yeah, I hope. I'm actually interested in those topics, so I hope my audience is too. But, you know, having you like back on the podcast, not just to talk about digital, but maybe, the kind of trends that you've seen come and go, the one that I've stuck around, I would be super interested to talk about this.
Sounds like fun, 100%.
Cool. Well, I guess this is the end.
Yep.
No.
All good things have to come to an end eventually. And
eventually, yes. So no. If people want to find Mantis FPV or find you, like what do they need to do? Where do they need to go?
Yeah. So we're most active on Instagram. That's where we share a lot of our stuff. So our Instagram is Mantis FPV AU. So find us on Instagram and our website, really. That's where we're active mainly on the two.
Okay.
Cool. I'm on the Instagram page, so any questions or anything like that, I'll be the one responding back and helping out as best as I can.
Cool. And thanks for your service. You have answered me several times already, so thank you for helping.
No worries. My pleasure. And thank you for having me on today. It was really fun. And I look forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. And thanks everybody for listening and watching. We have video now and to this episode. If you like the podcast, you know, you can give us good ratings. You can share it with your friends, with your family, if they're also into FPV. We have Patreon if you want to support us and help bring video to you because, you know, this is with Patreon that I've been able to start doing a bit of video on the podcast. And that's pretty much it. Thanks a lot.
Awesome.
We will come back soon. Thanks again,
Adriano.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no worries at all. And we will talk to you soon in about 2 weeks' time. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.